This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, and I'm happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. I have a big smile on my face just knowing that you are out there. Brings me such great joy, and the opportunity to spend this time with you is just sheer pleasure for me. For those of you that are out there on social media, you're going to notice that I am in studio today, and you're going to notice, too, that I am joined here today by my husband, Jack Williams. We didn't get to do Monthly Marriage Monday last week, and there was a reason for that. We were traveling. So we decided we would do it today. It's a little bit out of the usual schedule, but it's so much fun.
I thought it was because it was the octave. I didn't think we could do Monthly Marriage Monday during the octave.
Why?
I don't know. Some canon.
There's no canon like that. There, and there we're off to a start, as you can see, right? So anyway, Jack is here. We're in studio today. We do invite you to join us here. 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number for you. That's 833-288-EWTN. Oh my golly gee, we love when you call in. Please do call in. I'm begging you, please call in, right? We enjoy your questions so very, very much. You can also join us out there at social media by using the chat feature. That's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Both options are available to you. I do want to let you know something else, too. I want to let you know that you can leave questions for us and we can answer them on this program. You can send them to us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Or you can leave them for us on the listener comment line. We've got a specific number for that. It is 205-795-5773, 205-795-5773. If you leave them there and you say, this is for Women of Grace, or this is for Johnette and Jack, or this is for Women of Grace on Monthly Marriage Monday, whatever, just so that we know how to segment it, that'll be great. And we would really like hearing from you in any of those ways. Today, Rich Jesse is our producer, yay. Matt Gubensky is our call screener, yay. And Michael McCall is our social media manager today, yay. So all of that being said, we are at the ready for you. I hope you're at the ready for us. I'm not sure I'm at the ready for the show, but Jack says, follow my lead. So, okay, you know, whether thou goest, I will go.
You're ready.
I'm ready. But I do want to tell you about some things that are coming up at Women of Grace because I'm so excited about so much of it.
If you're not ready for the show, you're about 6 years too late.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just because.
Oh, because we do Monthly Marriage Monday since. Yeah. So next month, friends, we're going to celebrate our 6th wedding anniversary.
Woohoo.
It's so exciting.
What? The first 7 are the hardest.
Well, then I have a lot to look forward to. Okie dokie. Let me tell them about some of the things coming up at Women of Grace, Jack. So I do want to let you know that today is today's date? The 8th. 8th? 8th. 8th. Today's the 8th. Okay, so tomorrow, we have an opportunity for you. We have a morning of grace on the 9th. Is that that's right. No, it's not. What day is today? Does anybody
know? Today's April 8th.
Okay, so tomorrow we have a morning of grace for you. I'm sorry. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what to say. It's been a busy weekend.
I'm around, you just turn into a giddy schoolgirl.
I do. I can't help it. It's been that way since the beginning. I'm quite certain it'll stay that way. I hope, anyway.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Yeah, truly, indeed. Okay, so I do want to let you know that we have a morning of grace tomorrow, and these mornings of grace are beautiful. If you've never attended anything with regard to Women of Grace, these moments of grace would be a very good introduction for you. This is an online opportunity for you, and what we're going to be talking about is women, wounds, and the power of God. Women, Wounds, and the Power of God. So we invite you to join us for that. The information is right there at the website. Just get out there and take a look at it. Option one, two options here. Tuesday morning, tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. to noon. The regional coordinators that will be leading this particular opportunity are Mary Dillenbach and Isabel Liberatore. We also have a second option if you can't make it tomorrow. You can make it on the 11th, that's Thursday, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. With regional coordinators Linda DeGonzaga and Denise McCain. All of these women are very, very excellent regional coordinators, excellent facilitators and leaders. You will, I think, just truly, truly, truly enjoy this, but also learn much, and I think also experience, that consolation of God. The grace that you'll be praying for, the theme is healing the wounds of the heart begins when Jesus Christ becomes the center of our lives, and the grace we're praying for, very Ignatian of us, is I pray for the grace to surrender all to God. So I'm inviting you to join us for that beautiful event. It's really lovely. And Jack, you know those ladies. You know them all, right?
They're fabulous. And I just like saying DeGonzaga.
It is a fun name to say. It really is. You could all try it out there, DeGonzaga. Linda right now, if she's listening, is like five shades of red. But that's okay. That's okay. In addition to that, we've got some other things coming up for you, too. On the 15th, we begin our book study. Wow. And I'm going to hold it up. I actually have it. So if you're on social media, you can see this book. It's Icon of Trust, Mary and the Gospels of Luke and John by Father Slawomir Zrejka. And let me tell you, I had the opportunity to interview Father Slawomir, and it is a fantastic book. You can see it's not thick. But let me tell you what, it is just so chock full. I have a Mother Angelica prayer card in here. I read the whole book. I've got it all underlined, starred, notes in the margin. It's wonderful. Would love for you to join us for that beautiful, beautiful opportunity. And then, if it doesn't get any better than that, on April 17th, we begin the Women of Grace Online Foundational Study. And that is going to be beautiful. It really is. I can attest to that. This is going to be transforming for your life. So get out there and check it all out. We are always busy at Women of Grace, and there's always something going on for you. So it's all exciting.
That foundational study is just that, foundational. And so women who are interested in that need to get involved now.
Yes.
Because there are going to be opportunities coming down the road.
Yes.
For which that foundational study is going to be a prerequisite.
Yes, it's true. The Benedicta Institute for Women requires you to have taken the Women of Grace Foundational Study. So these online opportunities are a great way to do that, especially if you don't have access to an in-person study in your area. Of course, my hope all of the time is that you take the online study and then become a facilitator in your area if you don't have it. But yeah, the Benedicta Institute for Women is happening April 22nd at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center there in North Palm Beach, Florida. Golly gee, we just have limited, we are outrageously limited in space and room right now. We hold this to a certain number because there's a lot of interaction. We want you to have an opportunity to interact with our professor. We want you to have an opportunity to interact with Bishop William Walterscheid. We have opportunities for discussion, so we keep it pretty small. But get on out there. We've got room for just a small number of women, three or four, probably tops. But if your heart is beating really fast, maybe the Holy Spirit's prompting you. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you. We're doing a monthly Marriage Monday today. It's out of order. We usually do it the first Monday of the month, but as a result of the fact that Jack and I were traveling last Monday, we couldn't do it, so we decided to do it today.
Are you sure it's not a canon that you can't do monthly Marriage Monday during the octave of Easter?
No, I don't think it's a canon, Jack. Only in your own personal canon of laws. But all of that being said, we're with you today, so we're looking forward to receiving your questions, and we receive them in two ways. We receive them by phone, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we receive them out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature at either one of those sites and put your question or comment in there and we'll get it. Get this, Jack. Diva is with us all the way from Kathmandu, Nepal. So we welcome you and we're so happy you are with us today. Spread the good news about us out there and over there in Nepal.
I wonder if Diva's ever climbed Mount Everest.
I don't know.
Probably not, but...
I don't know. Diva,
Diva's a Sherpa. She could be a Sherpa. Are there female Sherpas? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm very happy that she's with us, and I welcome you and thank you for being with us. And we encourage you to leave a message for us, too, and we'll read it on the air here. But, Jack, you've got other messages.
I do. If anybody who's listening has the TuneIn app, then you can listen to the EWTN live stream on TuneIn. All you have to do is go to TuneIn, go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app and search for EWTN, and voila.
So you can tune in at TuneIn.
Monthly Marriage Monday. That's right.
Right, you can tune in at TuneIn.
Aptly named, right?
Very, very much so. So I did ask Jack if you were with us in the first segment of the show. I did ask him what we were going to talk about today, and he had told me prior to the show just to follow his lead. So I don't know where he is headed, but I'm going to be right beside him.
Okay, so, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Marriage is great. Go. That's not it. So if we, today. As I think you explained this earlier, maybe not, I wasn't really paying attention, but
rule number one, husbands, pay attention to your wives.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do for sure. But today we are, celebrating the Feast of the Assumption. Or no, the Feast of the Annunciation.
There you go.
There's too many A feasts.
I know.
Yeah. So the Feast of the Annunciation, which is normally on March 25th.
That is correct.
But when it falls during Holy Week, then it is moved to the Monday after the octave. Today is the Monday after the octave.
That's
so we're
right.
Celebrating that feast today.
We are.
It is not, much to my chagrin personally, a holy day of obligation, because heaven forbid we should encourage people to go to Mass. But anyway, so we celebrate that today. So the first reading today, and Father Mark here at EWTN at Mass had some interesting reflections on that, and it kind of dawned on me that this really kind of applies a little bit, you know, to what we're talking about today. So the first reading is from the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is addressing King Ahaz, who, and now listen, I am not an Old Testament scholar. I am not a biblical historian by any stretch of the imagination. So do not hold me to any of these speculations with regard to the historicity of this setting. But if I'm not mistaken, Ahaz is the successor to Solomon, I believe. And there's all sorts of turmoil going on between the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom at the time that this is written, at the time the events being described are taking place. And Ahaz has essentially started to try to keep the peace and to try to keep the existence of the Southern Kingdom by making deals with all of these pagan groups that live in the land around them. And so in that setting, Isaiah says, "The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the nether world or high as the sky.' But Ahaz answered, 'I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord.' Then Isaiah said, 'Listen, O house of David, it is not enough for you to weary people. You must also weary my God.'" Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. Ready for this?
Okay.
You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. "The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Okay? So, couple things that came to mind with regard to marriage and our current situation in the world and in America. You know, first of all, you know, times were probably far more perilous, regardless of what we might think of our own day and time. Things were probably far more perilous in the terms of their civilization than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were given a promise, right?
Yes.
So this was written, if Father Mark is correct, 700 years before Christ.
Wow.
So the promise is made, and it's delivered 700 years later.
Mm.
So we think that I know a lot of people, you hear people talk, and they think we live in the most contentious times in the history of man. And there have always been contentious times in the history of man. And you know why? Because it's been full of man. That's why. Anytime you get humans involved, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works since the fall.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. And so, you know, we're not even 250 years old as a country. Forget about 700 years. So we get impatient about waiting for what God is going to do to deliver us from this situation. And I just think that lends a little bit of perspective. But the real thing with regard to marriage that this spoke to me is that essentially the Lord is the prophet speaking on behalf of our Lord is telling the king Ahaz, yo, dude, stop making deals with, stop looking to the people around you to find your peace. Look to me to find your peace. And how often do we see that in situations regarding the sacrament of matrimony in our day and time? We look to men before we look to God for our peace.
Yes.
And I think sometimes even if we take a glance God's way in our peace, especially if we're maybe in an irregular marriage situation, or if we are impatient leading up to a potential marriage, we tend to look to men rather than glancing at God, because that first glance at God looks like a rocky road.
Yeah.
And it looks like more work, and it looks like more of a challenge. But I can promise you, if we can train ourselves to look to God first in all things, especially when it comes to marriage, I mean, that's why marriage is in the trouble it's in, because we don't look to God, we look to men.
Well, I think that that's an excellent point. And really, what a beautiful way to tie the beautiful feast that we're celebrating today into our discussion. And I wanted to just share that, you know, when part of the problem, part of the difficulty that we have today is that we live in a time of instant gratification. Now, you know, that's almost a hackneyed statement at this point in time. It's so overused. But we don't realize the way in which that affects us. It affects us to a profound level. We don't know how to wait for anything. We want it now. So when we head into a time of difficulty in a marriage, whether it's coming from outside stressors or whether it's coming from interior stressors, we don't know how to wait with expectant faith and hope, relying on the graces of matrimony that we receive. But this whole concept of waiting, I mean, you know, there's a beautiful theology of waiting, Jack, a beautiful mm-hmm. theology. And in light of today's feast, I just want to mention this because this is an interesting thing that I discovered when I was doing research for a project that I'm working on. I found a title of Our Lady that's very little known, and it's called Our Lady of Expectation. Our Lady of Expectation.
We run across her in Mexico City?
Well, we ran across Our Lady of Solitude, and that was part of it. So why don't you share with everybody?
Well, I don't remember enough to articulate it.
There's a title of Our Blessed Lady, and frankly, the sisters out there that went out to Arizona from Mother's Foundation,
right,
that Mother sent out.
Yeah, their monastery is Our Lady of
Solitude. And if you go to their website, if you just look it up and look for that title.
Yeah.
In relation to them, you're going to find a beautiful discussion there about Our Lady of Solitude.
Which is what the statue in the church I'm talking about was called, but the priest that gave us the little exegesis on it, he substituted Our Lady of Loneliness, didn't he? Or was it Loneliness?
I can't remember that part, really.
Okay, go ahead.
But all of that being said, Our Lady of Solitude. And so what is this about? Well, this is about Our Blessed Mother being left alone after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Our Lady is left without him physically. And so she's waiting with expectant faith. And one of the most beautiful things that this priest said, I thought was just absolutely amazing. He said, and Our Lady, however, met her son in his Eucharistic presence. Do you remember that? Our Blessed Mother, we don't think about this. Our Blessed Mother received our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity, just like we receive our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity. She received body, blood, soul, and divinity from the hands of the apostles, who were the first priests, right? So she kept our Lord company. She encountered him in his Eucharistic presence. I am sure adoring him and sitting with him in his Eucharistic presence, I would love. You know what? I'm going to ask Our Blessed Mother the next time I'm sitting in adoration to take me into those moments in her own experience, because she'll do that for you. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but Our Blessed Mother will give you every one of the attributes of her soul. St. Louis de Montfort tells us that. Anyway, all of that being said, what a wonderful thing. But Our Lady waited, and she knew all about waiting. And so can I just read a little thing on this? Because I think that it pertains to the importance of waiting. You give us the scripture example here about the people waiting for the coming of the Messiah through the virginal birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's just a few other ones. They waited centuries. The Israelites waited centuries for the Messiah to come, even though God prophesied his coming in the Garden of Eden. Abraham and Sarah waited decades to conceive a child after God promises their progeny will be greater in number than the stars. David waits years from the time of his kingly anointing until he actually ascends the throne, not unlike Abraham and Sarah. Elizabeth and Zechariah grow old before St. John the Baptist is finally conceived. Simeon waits many years to realize the fulfillment of God's promise that he would see the Savior before he died. Jesus, our Savior, waits 30 years for the commencement of his public ministry. And then another 3 years for its mission to be completed. And before they are sent to proclaim the good news, the apostles wait 9 days in the upper room for the coming of the Paraclete. But get this, but perhaps most impressive of all is that God himself waited. He waited for the fullness of time to arrive before he sent his son to redeem mankind. And when that time arrived, he waited for the response of a woman, the same woman whom he had spoken of in the garden generations before, and the same woman who had been patiently waiting with her people for the coming of the Lord. And then all of heaven held its breath as it waited for the woman's response. And when her response was given, the woman's time of waiting began anew. Her name was Mary. And so when you think about this legacy of waiting that we have as the people of God, why do we grow impatient when things don't change dramatically in the twinkling of an eye, in the circumstances and situations and problems that we face in life? All of these people waited with expectant faith and hope for the coming of the Lord, right? We need to wait with expectant faith and hope for the coming of our Lord into the midst of our difficulties and struggles, with our eyes always searching for him and the abundant graces that he pours out to us, knowing that he is there in the midst of it and drawing strength from that so that we can wait with patient expectation for change to happen.
I think it's an excellent point. Waiting is the theme. Unbeknownst to us, waiting is the theme, and we are waiting for your phone calls at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm going to tell you, we're impatient. Just
yes.
That is one of the significant characteristics of the culture in America today, mm-hmm. is that we do not have the capacity to wait at all. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not saying that they're not out there, because I'm sure they are out there. I personally have occasion to come in contact with people who have gotten out of irregular marriages and want to enter into a new marriage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps one or both of the members of the couple are waiting for an annulment. And I can't think, again, they're out there, I know. I don't know personally of a single couple that I've known about in that situation that didn't run out and get themselves married civilly before the annulment process had run its course. They were unwilling to wait on the Lord because of their impatience. And look, I get it. I get it. In the weeks and months leading up to our wedding, we were abundantly impatient.
We were, but we didn't have any impediments.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Right.
I understand the excitement and the desire and everything else, but waiting on the Lord is always the best choice.
It is.
Asking the Lord for His intervention is always the best choice.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, and this brings up another issue too. And when you talk about an irregular marriage, you mean a marriage that was not consummated, begun within the context of the sacrament of matrimony. And sometimes it's because there were mitigating circumstances there.
Well, potentially.
Yeah, there's other factors.
That's what the we don't know, or we wouldn't need the process.
No. I'm not talking about the annulment process. Yeah. I'm talking about when you use the phrase irregular marriage.
Yes.
There's a situation there.
Yeah, when you haven't followed, you know, canonical form or matter.
Exactly. So that's what I'm referring to. But, you know, part of that impatience too is an unwillingness to surrender to the process, because people are afraid, if I don't get the annulment, you know, like if I wait for the annulment and it doesn't come through, then what? Which is why it's generally better to wait until everything is in line before you put yourself in that situation, because the temptation is great. You know, we're human beings after all. The temptation is very, very great. Well, you hear that music, and I hope you're being tempted right now in a good way, tempted to give us a call here. We are waiting for you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Also, you know, you can leave us your question or comment at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. It's a Monthly Marriage Monday with Jack Williams and Johnette Williams. We're coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and we are delighted to hear from you today. So I'm asking you, please, to give us a call. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to talk with you today. It's a Monthly Marriage Monday. My husband, Jack Williams, is with me in studio right here on the campus of EWTN. We have Rich Jesse producing. We've got Matthew Gabinski answering the phones. Michael McCall doing social media. I like to keep those men busy. You know, Jack likes to keep them busy. So the only way they can keep busy is if you give us a call or send us a message via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Again, that number, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. It doesn't get any easier or breezier than that. We're talking about marriage today. We're talking about waiting. We're talking about, you know, the impatience that comes when we don't get what we want as soon as we want it. And I mean, of course, we were talking right prior to the break about the whole area of waiting. You know, if you are trying to resolve, you know, an annulment. But in addition to that, I mean, it's even just waiting in marriage. I mean, we get impatient. We want changes really fast. And, you know, we oftentimes forget the fact that God will take that moment and help us to grow some of the virtues we need, like patience, like trust, sometimes long-suffering. So He's working in everything, but embrace the moment. Embrace the grace of the present moment. Have expectant faith, but don't miss God in the present moment that He's giving you right at that very second.
Yeah, very good. We have Joe in the great state of Ohio listening to us on St. Gabriel Radio today. Joe, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Quick question. Is divorce decree by a government agency, if you will, a prerequisite for a decree of annulment?
Yes. Yeah, it is. They will, annulment proceedings cannot begin until there's a civil divorce.
Let me follow up with another question. Is that in canon law or Jack's canon law?
I'm assuming it's in canon law. I can't give you the canon, but it is required by the church. I know that. That's not me making it up or thinking that's how it ought to be, because I know for a fact that a diocese and a tribunal will not start a proceeding until a civil divorce has taken place. So it's got to be in a canon somewhere, I would think.
Okay, locked and loaded canon with a big ball. you'll know the lady's name,
Rose Sweet.
Rose Sweet, and I believe they were on with our gentlemen, our scholars, Catholic Answers out west.
Very well, and could be. Yeah.
Yes. Somebody mentioned, you know, why. If I find that in the canon law or in the canon, why is it that our church, requires a license by some other government agency for a pastor in our Catholic Church to marry us, and then a license, if you will, to file a nullity or start a case for a nullity, here again, as you mentioned before, waiting on God's time at God's speed with Jesus still in this marriage. Why do we, I guess, allow that state to intervene in our sacrament?
Well, you know, Joe, I got to tell you, that's a really good question. And a friend of mine has written a book that kind of raises some of these questions. His name is John Clark, and I'm going to try really fast to find the title of that book for you. It is a good question, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we talk about the sacrament. We talk about the sacrament of matrimony, right? Jesus raises the status of this union of a man and a woman to a sacramental state, through which he confers graces on the couple. It's an outward sign.
Betrayed without a kiss.
There you go. Betrayed without a kiss. Thank you, Jack, for looking it up for me. So I invite you to get a copy of that book. And he maintains in this book that, you know, this should be changed, that you know, people get divorced and then they strive for an annulment. What we want to try to do is to preserve the marriage. So they come after something's already been broken. Why does the church require say that the state is involved? It's really, I don't quite know how you tease the contract of marriage, which is a civil arrangement. I don't know how you tease that out from the covenantal relationship, just based upon the way in which the world operates. There are benefits that come by way of the civil contract, right? Many of them, as a matter of fact. So this separation, between the two is one that is the two entities coming together in the marriage, the civil contract and the sacrament, is one of the features of life as we know it in contemporary times. I don't know why the church says you have to be civilly married first. I know that in some countries, Italy is an example of this, you have to be civilly married before you can have the sacrament of matrimony. And that's a state law, if I understand correctly. So imposed by the government. So, you know, the church, you'd give unto Caesar what is Caesar, give unto God what is God's. It is a benefit in this country that our priests have the capacity to act in that civil, you know, process of licensing a couple. So I don't think that that's a really good answer. When it comes to nullity, though, you know, this decree of nullity, the point that John makes in this book, and this is only one part of it, but he talks about the fact that, you know, if if there's no decree of nullity and it's actually a valid marriage, then we want to do everything that we can to maintain that marriage. But if you put the cart before the horse and the divorce is there, then the unfortunate reality is that the couple is left now. You know, it's broken already. So the hope for that reconciliation is less likely at that point. So I don't know if we're helping you very much or not.
Yeah, yeah, and you, Joe, if you have the capacity to listen to EWTN's open line this afternoon at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to pose that question to Father John Trigilio.
Oh,
he is
great.
Not a canon lawyer, but he has been in pastoral ministry for many, many years, and he has been a professor at the seminary, which he is now, for many, many years. So these things have, so he can give you a little bit better probably articulation of exactly the why twos and wherefores of that whole situation. You know, I know really if you look at the outside of the sacramental life, if you just look at the history, you know, the institution of marriage basically exists to provide for the welfare of children that come from that union.
Right.
And, you know, I think the church may want to make sure that those children are provided for legally before they start attacking the matter. And I think that that has something to do with it. But if you can listen, I'm going to ask that question right out of the gate today to Father Trigilio at 2 Eastern or 2 Central, 3 Eastern.
Yeah. And if you're interested,
okay.
Yeah. And if you're interested in reading John's book, Religious Catalog has it for you. It's number 3158. That is the order number for it. So
and
you might want to check it out.
EWTNRC.com. And then also you can check out the podcast. If you can't get in there at 2 o'clock, you can go to EWTN.com/radio/podcasts sometime before 6 o'clock tonight, between 3 and 6 Central Time. Sometime that will get posted as a podcast, and hopefully we can get you a little bit more concrete of an answer to your question, which is a very good one. It's something that is certainly on the hearts and minds of people that find themselves in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back to this whole notion of waiting and our inability to do it. You know, we talked about this a little while ago. It's been a while, several months now, that we had a very, very brief discussion. But you remember when we were kids and we were growing up, and there were public service announcements, there were commercials and everything about saving money. Save your money. And they gave you vehicles and all sorts of ways that you could save your money. Do you ever hear anything about saving your money now in this culture?
No.
It's spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you see is how to spend your money, because no one is willing to wait for anything. And I think, quite frankly, that our government has preyed on that to mm-hmm. a certain extent.
Well, our commercial industry has, right?
Yep.
They've played up this area of impatience. When you think about the lack of attention, the attention span that has decreased over these years, you know, it's an incredible thing. You know, there are, I don't know if people are aware of this, I think that there's 30 frames in a second in a video image. 30 frames, there's 30 parts to a second. Well, we used to be able to watch, you know, a commercial for a period of time or hold our attention for a period of time. But now the image has to change so fast that it's created a type of cultural attention deficit disorder. People can't attend to anything much, even reading a book. You know, they don't have the interior fortitude to wait. We're doing our kids a disservice. We're doing our marriages a disservice. We're doing each other a disservice because we want to jump in there. Think about that in reference to communication, Jack. You know, like, you know, you're having a discussion about a serious matter, right? And maybe you have differences of opinions about that serious matter. Well, no one has the patience to wait for the other person to completely express a thought before jumping in with their own thought, cutting them off at the pass, and then there's no communication, and then what happens? Tempers flare, you know? And it leads to an argument where there never should have been an argument, because if you would have been patient and allowed each other to speak, why, then everybody would have felt as though they had been sounded out at least, right? So we watch all of this. We're aware of all of this. But do we follow through on all of this? And I mean, you know, we're sitting here. Do we follow through on all of this? Well, we try, but we don't. We don't. I mean, I know I'll jump in on you. You'll jump in on me because we're assuming what the other person is going to say, right? Doesn't it happen, Jack? Come on, baby. It happens.
Do you know how hard it was to not interrupt you in the middle of that?
Well, I want to encourage you in this practice of purchase, Jack.
When you're sort of wired towards going for the laugh at any cost, that's a hard.
I didn't interrupt. Listen, I'm just gonna.
I'm gonna
share a little story.
Okay.
Okay. So, like when we first started to see each other, you know, I was so joyful. I was joyful just because I was joyful about the whole, you know, reality of what was happening. But I was also joyful because you're so funny. He's very funny. I mean, he really is very, very funny. And so I was telling his daughter, Katie, who is going to be my daughter of the heart, I was telling her, you know, oh, honey, you know, your dad just makes me laugh all the time. And she says, yeah, you'll get over it.
And it's only funny because she was right.
She was so right. It's like, you know, sometimes I tell Jack, you know, we don't always have to have a funny answer for everything I ask or say, you know, just a straight up honest answer.
We'll have
like
to,
a smart
we'll
answer,
to,
a smart retort
we'll
is not always the best
option.
We'll just
have to agree on that.
Well, I'm quite convinced you can't help yourself.
Well, I'll tell you something that everybody can agree on. The truths in the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And tonight and every night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Father Mike Schmitz guides you through the entire Bible and the entire Catechism of the Catholic Church. Not in one night, that would be a record. In 365 episodes, one for every day of the year. And if you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you. Bible in a year and Catechism in a year. Tonight and every night, 10 p.m. Eastern, and a little sample Saturday and Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. Still time for your phone calls at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, we can say those phone numbers in our memory. Did you ever have a job as a teenager or as a young adult? And then did you ever find yourself at home and then you just, out of reflex, answer the phone at home as if you were at work?
Actually, no.
I remember doing that.
You did? Yeah. Well, what job did you have at that time?
I was a lifeguard.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it. Yeah. Jack was actually a competitive swimmer.
Town and Country Swim Club. Can I help you?
I never did that at home. I only had one job as a young person, and I worked for an optician. I worked in an optician's office on Saturdays when I was a senior in high school, I think it was. Yeah.
Kenny, shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, but that was after I graduated.
Right. But before you started college.
Yeah. Before I started college. I started college at Penn State in the winter quarter. I didn't start in the fall. And so for like that 6 month period.
So you waited?
I waited with bated breath. I waited. In the meantime, I sold shoes. And that was something Jack and I both had in common that we found out.
I sold shoes too.
Yeah, Jack sold shoes too. He sold shoes for Kinney's competitor.
Yeah, for a very brief period of time.
Yeah,
Tom McCann.
Yeah, Tom McCann. So, do any of you remember those names? I don't think either of those companies exist anymore. They might, though, but
might.
I'm not really sure. Anyway,
our
all
producer,
that being
Rich
said,
Jesse sold shoes at Shoe World.
Oh, did he? Oh, he did. He's smiling. Can you believe that? Oh, my goodness. So, you know, and I have to tell you, I still give little tips on shoes to people. Like, you know, this is we're off on some tangent here.
We are. but
you
know, because you're not calling.
Well, I wear spike heels, right? Not the 5 inches anymore, but I wear like a solid 3 inch heel. And I love to wear high heels. And people say, how can you wear those? I haven't been able to wear those for years. Well, I'm going to tell you the trick, ladies. Here's the trick. What makes a high heel comfortable is the distance on the shoe between the heel and the ball of the foot. The point being that the narrower that gap is, the narrower that length is,
shorter. Narrow is a different direction.
Okay, the shorter that gap is, the more it pitches your foot, right? And it's less comfortable. But the longer that particular distance is, the more comfortable the shoe. So you always want to look at that. And you can see it if you compare shoes just looking at them on a rack. You don't even try the ones on that pitch you up there like, you know, you're walking on your tippy toes. That's because of the pitch of the shoe. You want it to be nice and long, and they're easy to wear, and I can wear them for a long time. Well, anyway, that was absolutely unimportant information on a program where we're talking about very important things. We've got Christy. Save us, Christy. Thanks be to God. Who knows what we'll talk about next if you don't. And she is with us from Arizona. How are you doing, Christy? Listening to us via EWTN.com.
I'm doing well.
Good.
You piqued my interest as far as listening to the talk about the divorce before annulments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm divorced, went through the annulment, and now I'm widowed. So anyway, I had years ago, I'm talking like maybe back in the 70s, I remember hearing a story as far as that there was a huge lawsuit that was filed by a divorced man. His wife had gotten an annulment prior to a divorce. He successfully sued the Catholic Church for alienation of affection.
Well, you know, I don't know how long this particular, process has incorporated that condition into it, Christy. So, you know, that would be interesting to do research on, because perhaps it was something of that nature that started this. But it's always been my experience that the divorce has to be had ahead of time. And, you know, the other thing is, and I don't think that we should leave this out of the conversation, though it's not especially pertinent to what you're saying here, and that is that, you know, you can get a civil annulment, too. So I don't know but this sounds as though this was granted by the church. And I can see and understand how that could get you into trouble, especially given what you've just suggested or shared with us has happened in the past.
Right. Well, I mean, and divorce was not as common and everything else. So, I mean,
that's a big factor. I said that's a big factor right there.
Right. And so, I mean, like I said, it just was listening to the discussion this morning. It was just like, oh, my gosh, I so remember hearing about this, driving it or riding in my, you know, I think it was probably in my parents' car, so it might have even been in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
I guess you and I are in the same age group, girlfriend.
Probably. it was something that struck me, you know, as far as it was like, oh my gosh, it was, you know, and I grew up in Iowa, so I don't know if it was a local lawsuit or if it was something that was more of a, you know, nationwide type deal or whatever, but it was something that definitely struck
well, great
a nerve.
thanks
well,
for that.
You've pointed out something I think that really, you know, has something to say about why the church does what she does. Well, thank you for your call, Christy. We appreciate it.
Can we go to Ann before we run out of time?
Gonna try to get there, babe. Okay, Ann is in Detroit, Michigan, listening to us via Ave Maria Radio. How are you, Ann?
Hi, good morning. It's so fast for the two of you together. I'm always curious about it. It's so wonderful that you found each other. But what I wanted to say is I'm married to an attorney, so no way can I claim to have any of the same legal privileges of an attorney. But many phone calls I overhear, and there's very important reason to be civilly divorced. I mean, there's couples who fight over dogs. It's ridiculous. But to get to the point, there's always that problem that needs resolved. The home, a husband and wife could still be legally owning the home until that's resolved. How would a new woman possibly even consider moving in when the old one is still there and has a say-so about what goes on here?
Yeah.
You kind of need to have a complete split before you can move on. And then there's custody. And all kinds of problems. If they're not solved, the new spouse doesn't even know what they're getting involved in.
Yes, you know, Ann, you're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, as we were talking earlier on, you know, the way in which, you know, civil laws and church law are bound, the intricacy of that relationship, both sides have to be
how
served
they coalesce,
well.
Yes.
That's good. That's a good word, Jack. How they coalesce. I like that. It's a big word. I like it a lot. Well, friends, I liked being with you a lot, Jack. I always enjoy our opportunities for these days.
It was fun.
It was great fun. Thank you so very much for what you shared with us and talking with us.
We're praying for you and all of your marriages.
Yes, we are. Please pray for us and our marriage and all of our family members as well. We pray for you all of the time. Join us next month for Monthly Marriage Monday. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow, however. Looking forward to that time. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. In the meantime, again, John Clark's book is Betrayed Without a Kiss, is available at ewtnrc.com. 3158 is the item number. God bless you all now. Bye.